Redemption's song. We appreciate Brother Drexel Green for leading our singing this evening in a very fine fashion. We appreciate the way you have blended your voices together in following his lead and us lifting up praises to God in heaven. We are thankful that God has blessed us to return this evening. We are appreciative of the scripture lesson that was read by Brother Davis, and we're also thankful for the meaningful prayer that was led by Brother Robert Frazier. Good to look out over the audience and see all of your cheerful faces this evening. You cherish the privilege to come together with the saints and to engage in worship and call upon the name of our God.
Amen.
I call your attention this evening to a portion of the scripture that we read this morning. And we look at Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. But before we read those verses again, let's back up to verse number 7, where the lost sheep has been found. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And then Jesus moves to the second parable, the parable of the lost coin. Verse number 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which was lost." And then Jesus says, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." I'd like to talk to you this evening, making a basic, solitary, singular point. It's something that we are challenged to do, and you will have an opportunity to do this evening. Years ago, Dale Carnegie wrote a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. We like to think that we have the power to influence others. Parents like to exercise their power to influence their children. Teachers like to exercise their power to influence their students. Politicians like to exercise their power to influence voters. And we can repeat the same with reference to many other individuals who like to exercise their power to influence others. And of course, friends like to exercise their power to influence other friends. But we have the power to influence far more and far more significantly than our children, than our spouses, than our friends. We have the power to bring to bear influence in heaven. I think that's an awesome prospect.
Wow.
That we have, we living on the earth, have the power to exercise influence in heaven. Just for a moment, let us consider the proposition, how to cause joy in heaven. How to cause joy. Would you like to cause joy in heaven, Consuela? Thank you, ma'am. I'm glad to hear that. And I know Clifford would like to cause some joy. So has Solomon. So has Clifton and Drexel and Mary Alice Jones. I look back and I saw a beautiful face smiling at me. And I said, Lord, that's Mary, my sister. Good to see you, Mary. Good to have you with us this evening. But each of us periodically has the power to influence the inhabitants of heaven.
Uh-huh.
In verse 7, Jesus said, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, that over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You might have the opportunity and the privilege, the exalted privilege I might mention, to cause joy in heaven this evening.
Right.
Let me talk to you this morning about counting. And we focused a preponderance of our lesson on the fact that all of us count. That is, all of us have significance. All of us have value. I think I forgot to turn on the speaker. Is that better? Okay, thank you. All right. It might be more than better. But each of us has value. Clifford, what is that, sir? $20 bill. How would you like to have this $20 bill? No, why didn't... You can't mess with folk. If you like to have it, you want all of it. I'm not going to tear a piece off and give it to you. Okay, how much is this $20 bill worth? A whole lot. How much is a whole lot, Billy? $30. No, I'm talking about this $20 bill. How much is this worth? Okay, let's let your sister tell us. She can describe it, I believe. Okay. Stay with me now. Stay with me, Dodie. Okay. How much is this $20 bill worth? How much? There you go. It's worth $20. Okay. Now, how many of you want this $20 bill? Will you raise your hand? Okay. All right. Brother Gerald doesn't want it. I was asking, how many of you want this $20 bill? Okay, my wife doesn't want it. My daughter wants it. I knew she wanted it. Okay. Well, I will say this. Somebody in this audience at the conclusion of this message will become the recipient of this. Say it again. Of this $20 bill. Now, let me ask you another question. Okay, I'm going to take this $20 bill and crumple it. Yeah, that's right, I'm going to crumple it. That's shocking to my little friends over here. Okay, how much is this crumpled $20 bill worth, Jaden? Okay, so she says it's still worth $20. Okay, well, do you want it just as much as you did before I crumple it? Okay, you would. Bless your heart. All right. Now, what I'm going to do to this $20 bill in the process of abusing it and misusing it, I'm going to drop it. How much is it worth now, Kim? It's still worth $20. Well, what if I kick it around a little? And how much is it worth now, Robert Frazier? Still worth $20. What if I stomp on it? Even and jump up and down on it. My wife said, don't you fall. She said, don't you fall. It's going to cost way more than $20 to pay your hospital bill. But how much is it worth now, Solomon? Do you want it just as much? What say? No. That's not what I ask you. You can't deal with your people, Solomon. So I can stomp it. I can soil it. I can misuse it. I can abuse it. I can just do all kinds of negative things to this $20 bill. And it still is worth $20. It still has value. It still has significance. No matter what happens to us, as people who are made in the image of God, we still have value. We still have significance. We can be abused. We can be misused. We can be neglected. We can be soiled. We can be damaged. We can be polluted. But we still have value in the eyes of God. And I think about that prodigal. I'm not going to go into a long dissertation on him, but when he was in the far country, he was the father's son. He had value, but he was subjected to almost indescribable abuse and misuse and rejection in the far country. He, even when he came back, experienced some abuse and some rejection from his other brother. But while he was in the far country, he was reduced to pigsty status. He got down in the mud. He would like to have eaten the pods that the hogs consume. When he was reduced to his lowest terms, He began reminiscing about home. He had abused and misused his privileges. He had wasted his substance in riotous living. He had become the victim of the famine. He was reduced to shoelessness and homelessness. He decided, every servant in my father's house has food to eat. He has a place to sleep. He has food and to spare. But here in the far country, I don't have that. It made sense to him. Sometimes hunger enables us to do some clear thinking. He came to himself and he said, here's what I will do. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be your child. Just make me one of your servants. I'm not worthy to be your child. But the Lord, his father, ran up the road to meet him, saw him afar off, wrapped his arms around his scraggly neck and lavished undeserved kisses of affection upon him. He said, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his feet. A ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. This is my son. He was lost, but now he's found. Amen. He was dead, but now he's alive. He had been misused. He had been abused. He had been soiled. He had been rejected. Does he still have value in his father's eyes? He most certainly did. And his father welcomed him. No matter how low we sink, no matter how badly we misbehave, no matter how egregiously we sin, no matter how we've been abused and neglected and rejected, we still have value. We still have significance. And the Lord still is willing to welcome us home. Amen. We have the power to cause joy in heaven. If we will have the willingness and commitment to repent. If you want to cause joy in heaven among the angels of God, just straighten up. Fly right. Give sin up. Turn sin loose and let sin go. Change your mind. Change your lifestyle. Recommit yourself to living for God.
Amen.
And you know what reaction will be experienced in heaven? The angels of the Lord will rejoice in the portals of glory. We have that power. Everything might be fine with everybody in this audience, but there might be one, maybe more, who has been unfaithful, who has fallen short of the glory of God, and who recognizes the need to change mind and behavior by repentance. If you'll do it, you can cause joy in heaven. I want you to treat your family in such a fashion that you cause joy at home. But it's more important to cause joy in heaven because of your commitment to repentance. Are you here this evening and need to repent, make some significant changes? If we'll repent, if we'll confess our sins, if we will pray and allow others to pray for us, you can cause some joy in heaven this very evening. Will you do it as we together stand and as we sing?
All things are ready.
Come to the feast.
Come for the